Why in the world would anybody that's lost be excited about coming? Come on. If we're not excited about coming, why in the world would our families be excited about coming? There's enough distraction. The world out there has something every night. Come on, there's something going on somewhere every night that everybody's got everything involved in, and that's pulling us away from God who saved us and the one that's going to take us to heaven. Amen. So we got to realize that, church. It's time for us really, you know, and that's kind of been what God's been trying to do, is to get us stirred up, get us woke up, get us to looking around and seeing where we're at and where our minds are at and what's really driving us. Come on, see, if you're not careful, you can allow things to drive you. Come on now. You know, over in Mark chapter 4, now this is not part of my sermon, but I'm just going to go ahead and preach it anyway. Over in Mark chapter 4, when it said that word fell among the thorns, it said that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches is what choked the word, and it became unfruitful. See, what I'm trying to tell you is, you know, all this thing, it's not going to cause you to backslide, probably. But it'll cause you to be choked down to the part where you're not fruitful anymore. Come on, appetizing anymore. Come on, I'll give you a little example. I had to go to Lexington yesterday, and I was a big rush, man. I was a long time in the car dealer and getting oil change and all this kind of stuff. And so I kind of had my mindset on Sonny's barbecue, but you know, I was by myself, and Pastorette hadn't eaten anything all day, and she said, "Bring me some canes." And I said, "Well, that's going to go through canes and get me some anyway." So when I eat my canes, it was so hot it would almost burn your tongue. It was so good. You know, I could dip it down in that sauce, and it was good. I'm driving 70. I'm driving down the road, and I'm sitting there. I've got my cruise control set, and I'm just eating. I'm just enjoying. And, you know, I'm trying to hurry up and get home so I can get it. But when I get home with hers, how many knows it's been an hour and a half or more? And get home to hers, now she gets it, and she said, "I bet it was good when it was hot." And I said, "Yeah, it was very good when it was hot." You know what the difference was? Hot tasted good. Cold was still all right, but it wasn't all that. Come on, think about it. What about us Christians? When are we the best? When we're hot. Come on, when we're excited about God, when we're all fired up, when somebody just look at us and we want to lay hands on them and pray for them. Come on. But once we get choked down and we become kind of cold, then we don't have that same appetizing flavor. The Lord said, salt's good. But when salt loses its flavor, it isn't good for anything to be thrown out and tromped under your feet. And sometimes I think some of us Christians, we kind of get to that place because we allow ourselves to let the world choke out the anointing that's on our life. Choke out our excitement. Choke out the things that really are important to us. We think all this in the world, the cares of the world, we think that's all important. But I'm going to tell you something. It means nothing in the scope of eternity. I don't care if your kids win every trophy from here on out the rest of their life. If they don't have Jesus in their life and they're not living for Him and they're not excited for Him and don't have a testimony for Him, it doesn't mean a thing. Actually, one preacher said, you know, if it don't matter how successful your kid becomes, they can become a doctor, become a lawyer or whatever, but if they don't have Jesus in their life, you failed as a parent. That's pretty strong, but there's a lot of truth to that. Now, I didn't say that. I said another preacher said that. Okay? I know that makes people get mad. But the truth is, we're supposed to be training up our children in the way they should go. That's right. So when they get old, they don't depart from it. Well, what we train them up to do? That's right. I don't want to get into it. I mean, I saw this week people training their kids in a way that they know better, because I always preach against it, but I still saw people that said, on that. I don't care what the word says. I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to have fun with my kids. Well, you just have fun when your heart starts trying to cast that devil out of them. Oh, they won't. Yeah. Okay. I mean, either the word's true or it's not. You know. Well, I ain't no change. Well, there might not be one now. But how are you training them up? What spirit are you allowing to drive them? Are they more... Are they more excited about going trick-or-treating than they are coming to church? If they are, you're messing up. I know yesterday was Halloween. This is a new day, but see, you know, for the devil and his crew, today's the Day of the Dead. A lot of folks were celebrating it. I'm not going to celebrate that. I'm going to celebrate my Jesus because He is the life and the light of men. Come on. And we're going to raise our kids. I'm going to tell them about it whether you like it or not. And I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. And I know people, oh, now Pastor Mike, you've got to be real. You've got to be able to relate to people. I am being real. The problem is you've been living in this fairyland that thinks that you think that nothing's going on and it won't matter what you do. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus said you'll give an account for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. It might not be affecting you right this moment, but one of these days you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. Did your pastor tell you this stuff? Oh yeah, he told us. Well, why didn't you do it? Jesus said to those that came to Him, He said, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and not doing the things I say? Depart from me. I don't even know you. Don't get mad at me now. I've got a message. I promise I have. But sometimes maybe we just need to get ourselves stirred up and realize if we're not careful, the devil will take hold of things that we think are important in our life and pressure us with those. I realize this is a difficult time of year for Christian parents because their kids are being pressured into things in the schools. Well, as you can see, the schools, I love our teachers. I love our educational system. But the problem is they're the world still. Even though there's Christian teachers there, there's somebody that's pushing stuff. Come on now. And they're pushing all this worldly stuff and all this pagan stuff and all this. And our kids are pretty well caught up in a trap in the middle of it. And a lot of our Christian teachers. See, it got quiet on me. But it's the truth. I'll guarantee you that I mean, do schools have Christmas programs anymore? I'm glad some of them are still having them because you don't hear a whole lot about it. It's not pushed like this other stuff is. How about we take the schools and shut down the town and let's just have a big Christmas party right downtown? A Jesus party. And let's gather everybody and let's dance before the Lord. Worship God. See, it gets quiet. Because you see, that's what the world does that among other things. But when it comes to the things concerning Jesus, then things kind of just get quiet. And people just back up. We have to understand, church, that we are the church. And we are the children of God. And if we can't come into our house and worship God, how are we going to go out there and worship God? If we're ashamed to lift up our hands or we're too tired or we're too weary, maybe we're too busy doing other things. Amen. Now, I'm saying we because I'm right there with you. There's times that I've been here and I've been so tired that I'd mess up on stuff. My words would get jumbled or I'd miss it. You've heard me mess up. Just because I mess up on the keyboard don't mean I'm tired. That's just kind of one of them things. But, you know, but I'm just saying we need to be pushing ourselves more. Getting more involved in our church service. So I'm going to tell you something. If you guys, Brother Tim said it, I believe it was the other day. If you guys start worshiping and start putting a demand on the anointing, I promise you that's just like saying sick 'em to a dog on this praise team. Because, man, that they start feeling that. I'm going to tell you something. It's a difficult thing to stand up here and worship God and look out and see a bunch of faces looking at you like, man, I hope they hurry up in that song. Come on. It's hard to push us. But if you see people out there like going, and big tears streaming down people's eyes and stuff like that, there's something rises up on the inside of you. It's just like in the service. When somebody breaks out and runs, everybody runs. It excites everybody. But if everybody sits, then it's just... Been in this thing a long time. And when Pastorette and Stephanie started having to get up some, when I started having to play, I just told them, I said, sometimes there are going to be times you get up there just rough plowing. Yeah. What I mean by rough plowing, I mean you're going to get up there and they're just going to look at you no matter what you say. Because they've just determined I'm not moving, and no matter what you say, it's not going. They're kind of in that mode of, I shall not be moved. Amen. I know it. I know. I'm just trying to get you to start thinking about some things. We need to make sure that if we want to have a good church service, if we want to come in and we want to have God just move, then that means we got to move. Don't know, but last time I checked, God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son were seated in heavenly places. Now, we're seated with Him, but we're down here too as a body. And so God's up there. We're down here to represent Him. So that means if we're the body of Christ, then we've got to move if we want to see Christ move. Our body got to move. Amen. See, think about that for a minute. So let's go in. I'm just going to kind of go through what I've got. I've been preaching already. But in Mark chapter 5, remember when Jesus went over to... I'm not going to read. I had a lot to read, but I'm not going to read. Remember when Jesus went over to the land of Gennesaret? When He got over there, there was that wild man that was living in the tomb. They had put chains on him. They had put fetters, those wooden things. They had tried to bind him up, and he was so wild from the spirits that were in him that he would just break off those chains. And everybody was afraid of him. But when he saw Jesus, the Bible says he ran and he fell at his feet. And Jesus begins to talk to him and he says, what's your name? And he wasn't talking to the man. He was talking to the demons inside the man. And the out of the mouth of the man came, we're legion, for we're many. And then they began to talk. Are you here to cast us out before our time? Don't cast us out into our outer darkness. Let us go over into the swine. Jesus says, go. And when he said that, they left. The swine realized that the demons had entered them. They ran off the slope into the sea and killed themselves. They wouldn't allow themselves to be possessed by what the man had allowed himself to be possessed with. Well, you know, when the crowd comes, you know, there's folks watching. They were always watching Jesus, trying to find a fault with him. So when some of them were watching, saw that the swine had went down to drown, they ran into town and got, you know, the people that owned the swine. Come here, they come out. And when they come out, they find this man sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's no longer naked. Now he's clothed and in his right mind. Of course, they just couldn't stand the thought of, they didn't care about the man. They cared about their hogs. Kind of like the church today. Don't get mad at me, but most people are more concerned about their living than they are people's salvation. They're more concerned about it, something else other than God. But they told Jesus to go. Now, here's the thing I want to bring out of this. Before the Lord Jesus Christ delivered that man, he was a wild man, breaking chains and all that. Now, all of a sudden, he's this regular man with clothes on and in his right mind. See, what I want you to understand is this. That man, up until the point that he met Jesus there, was being driven by a wrong spirit. He was being driven by a demonic spirit that was causing him to just be a wild man. Now, here's what I want you to understand. We have to be careful. We have to watch ourselves to make sure that we're not allowing a wrong spirit to get on us or even in us. Now, as long as you're a child of God, I don't believe you can be possessed by a demon, but you sure can be oppressed from the outside by one. So he has been possessed by one. Now, this man was a good person, but just the wrong spirit that was driving him, that was pushing him, that was causing him to do some of the things that he had done. You know, the Bible teaches us, neither give place to the devil. Neither give. See, you've got to understand, the reason the Bible says that is because we've got to be careful that we don't open a door that allows him an entry into our life. There's things that we can do that allows an entry for him into our lives. One of the biggest things I think that the demonic hordes are doing right now in most people's lives is telling them how busy they are. Oh, you're busy. You're busy. You got to do this. You got to do this. You don't have time to go. You're too busy to go to church Sunday. Oh, you need to sleep this morning because you don't get much rest anyway because you work all the time. You're always busy. You need to stay home and rest. So you've got to understand, he don't got to really get you to do something. He can get you not to do something, and it works just as well. Oh, see, the devil, he's a deceiver. He likes to make suggestions. And he'll whisper in your ear, have God said you should not eat of that tree? Have God said, yeah, he said if we ate of the tree or touched it, we'd die. Oh, you won't die. You'd just be like God. It's not going to hurt you to miss one service. Your kids are growing up so fast, and if you don't watch them now, the question is, how are they growing up? Are they growing up to love the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, really, where would you rather see? My goodness. Would you rather see your kids singing up here for Jesus or singing out here in the world in a bar somewhere, entertaining a bunch of drunks? It just got real quiet. Of course you'd rather see them singing for Jesus if you've got any God in you at all. Well, yeah, they can make a living like that. Sure they can. They can make a living singing for God if they're good enough. But you see, the thing is, where has the importance been placed? What spirit's been driving this or that? And so with this man, he's been driven by the wrong spirit until he meets Jesus. Now, this is the same man that wanted to leave with Jesus. He didn't want to stay around that bunch. He wanted out of there. He said, let me go with you. And he says, no. He said, you go back in to the city. You tell everybody the great things that God did for you. And, of course, we know the rest of the story. He went back in town. The next time Jesus came over there, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. That one man, once the wrong spirit was out of him and the right spirit was in him, he evangelized that whole city. See, what would happen if we would make sure that we got the right spirit in us, the spirit that doesn't say, well, you know, I'm ashamed. The spirit says, well, I ain't really got anything to say. The spirit said, "Well, I'm that says I'm a nobody, or you know, well, I think they're better than me, and I'm afraid to speak to them because I'm." What happened if we just have some boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to speak up and tell people, "Listen, Jesus is Lord, whether you like it or not." Come on, just speak up and tell. You know, I mean, you can like or think or whatever you want to, but our governor came into town this week and I saw preachers there and I saw people there and how can you support somebody that kills children? You get mad at me if you want to. I'm sorry. You just have to get mad, but I have to stand by what the Word says. I'm talking about politics. I don't care who they are. And it's not just because he's a Democrat. If a Republican is for abortion, then I'll have to tell you, as far as God's side, they're not on it. But if you're putting your hand in on that, then you have to understand I'm responsible for that too. If I drive the car to a bank robbery, I'm going to be an accessory to that bank robbery. Even though I didn't go in the bank, I did not rob the bank, I just drove the car. You get mad about that if you want to, you know. Be careful that you're not an accessory to something that God says is wrong, is sin. Be careful that you're not an accessory to an abomination that God says is an abomination. See, we have to see what kind of spirit's going on here, folks. What kind of spirit are we being driven by? Are we giving the devil place somewhere in our life? We have to think about that. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, we'll find out that it just takes a little bit to cause a big problem. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul's really just jumping on them good. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you from not obeying the Lord? He goes on and says, this persuasion doesn't come from God. This kind of persuasion doesn't come from God. Think about it for a minute. Now, if you're being persuaded to do something that's not of the Word, then guess what? That persuasion is not of God. If God says don't, and you're being persuaded to, then you have to see where that persuasion's coming from. See, they were having problems there where people were trying to tell them you need to go get circumcised and all this stuff. And they were coming in. And see, that's the devil. The devil's trying to tell them, you know, you've got to go through all these acts. And what he's saying, you were doing fine till you heard them say that, until the devil started whispering to you. And now you've got confusion and stuff going on. And he said, it's that little leaven is leavening the whole bunch. It's causing you to be all messed up. And he said, listen, that's not from God. The Word of God is forever settled, folks, and either it's true or it's not true. And I know that, you know, oh, we were talking about the nativity scene. And I told Stephanie, and she, you know, traditionally, what do you see in a nativity scene traditionally? Come on, talk to me. Preach to me. Who? Baby Jesus. Who else? Mary. Joseph. Who else? Wise men. Who else? Angels. Shepherds. Right? You know, and we were talking about that, you know, because you got to start thinking about some of these things. And of course, I looked at Stephanie and I said, well, we really don't, if we're going to be biblical about this thing, we can't put wise men there. And she looked at me, she said, Dad, can't you just be normal? I said, I'm not normal, baby. Now, I'll just be honest with you. We will probably put wise men there because that's always been a traditional thing in a nativity scene. Now, see, you're getting quiet on me. Because I'm not trying to make a biblical statement as of this is the correct thing. I'm trying to just get them to see that we need to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, if they want to come to church here, I'll teach them about it being years before the wise men because they're already in a house and the baby's already grown up, you know. But you see, when you start, see, y'all looking at me funny. Now, see, you wouldn't have thought a thing about it if I'd have just went ahead and had the wise men there. Not until I mentioned it. You see what I'm saying? That's how easy we can forget things. That's how easy we can let things slide. But it's okay. It's not like that's a sin. Okay. We're not trying to preach to them. All we're trying to do is show them the example of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no kind of spirit behind what we're trying to do other than the Holy Spirit. But I'm just trying to show you how we need to start thinking and how if we, the Word's true no matter what, and things that we say about the Word, it just messes with people. Because they've not really been taught the truth. And so when you teach the truth and you stand for the truth, it makes you abnormal. So I'm an abnormal person. You know, Stephanie's a teacher and some of you teachers know, I mean, and there's lots of pressures and I understand these things, but at the same time, I listen to my spirit man about stuff. is this something I would allow or is this something I wouldn't allow? Is this something that's going to affect something big time or is it not going to affect something big time? See, you're looking at me funny. Remember this, the Word of God says that the letter of the law will kill. But the Spirit of the Lord, it gives life and freedom. Because just as sure as you're there and there's no wise men there, people are going to say, well, where are the wise men at? Now I've got to go through this whole spiel with them, and it don't matter what I say to them, it ain't going to matter. You say, well, how you know? Listen, you just don't know how many times being a preacher I've had to do these kind of things. Because the church has not been taught stuff. Just like the woman that messaged me about women preachers, you know. And I mean, I'm texting, I'm thinking. I even told her, I said, this conversation would be better as a conversation, not as a bunch of texts, because there's just too much to it. But it wouldn't have mattered because she had already made up her mind and been brought up that way. And that, no matter what I said, it didn't change anything. See, and that's where a lot of the church is at. That's the reason they get mad. That's the reason they go ahead and trick or treat and dress their kids up as witches and all that. They don't care. Because they've been taught this all their life. So there's so many things that we have to be careful about. Because, see, there's a spirit behind that that's pushing. Always pushing. There's nothing on Halloween that's godly. Nothing. Well, I went over real big. They were being persuaded by the wrong spirit. He said, you ran well for a while, but this thing that's persuading you now, it's not God. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything pushing me, persuading me, or driving me that's not God. The Holy Spirit's what I want to drive me. Now, can I just say that in this country that there's a lying spirit going on? There is a lying spirit that's loosed in this country. You can't believe any politician that you listen to. I said any. Don't say he's being political. I said any of them. They're all liars because they all want you to vote for them. And truthfully, a liar does this. They tell you exactly what you want to hear. Or they avoid what you're trying to find out. Rather than just come out and tell the truth. Right? Come on. And that I mean, you know, it's going on. You know, they're saying that we don't need God in our schools. Think about that. They're saying that we really don't need God in our country. And a lot of them are even saying we don't need God in our lives. You know, we have evolved past this. We've gotten too smart now. This is just ridiculous to go by this book. How can you prove there's a God? Well, I'll tell you, you might not believe in Him now, but there's going to be a day. Because every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So you might not believe now, but one of these days you will be a believer. It'll be too late. But one of these days you believe. So go ahead and mock. Go ahead and make fun. Go ahead and do whatever you want to. Live your life however you want to now. But you better really, 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 really enjoy it now. Because I promise you, hell is eternal. Hell is eternal and it won't be enjoyable. It's not one of them deals where you go there for the weekend and then decide, I don't like this place, I'm going somewhere else. No, it's over. You're there. So we have that lying spirit's there and telling us, you know, we don't need God in our country. We don't need God in our schools. We don't need God in our lives. We really just don't need God at all. They're telling us that we need to be tolerant of homosexuality. We need to be tolerant. You know, some people are just born that way. If you believe that, I got some swamp land out in the desert I want to sell you. That's what they tell us. They tell us that it's the right of the woman to kill her baby if she wants to. We ought to be tolerant of that. It's her choice. I'm going to tell you something. Her choice is whether or not she has sex. Once she has sex and she gets impregnated, from that point on, it's no longer her body or her choice. Because once that baby is conceived and life begins at conception, it's another person, it's not her. So for her to abort that baby is killing another person. You don't have to like that if you don't. It's just the way it is. Now, you know, we can't get some of the nod heads that over our country to understand that, but God's not going. There will be an answer to God for all the babies that have been killed. Woe unto those that are pushing abortion and having abortion clinics and abortion doctors, and even those that are taking part of that. You know, the good news is Jesus loves us so much that if you're a lady and you've had an abortion, God still loves you and He'll forgive you and you can still go to heaven. And you know, when you get to heaven, you get to see that baby. Come on, God knew that baby before it was ever formed in the womb. Yeah, but now it didn't come to... It don't matter whether it came or not. You'll know that baby when you get to heaven. I believe that. I believe we're going to get to see those kids that mothers have lost trying to have kids. And you know, see, the stupidity in all of it is this. They're pushing the abortion. Pushing them. We want to kill them, baby. We don't want to let them be born. But yet there's millions of families that want babies to raise and can't have kids. But now, if you want one of those kids, we're going to kill them. It'll probably not cost very much to kill one. But if you want one of them, and we need to let it get big. If you want one of them, it's going to cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to have that kid. So what I'm saying, I'm showing you that what spirit's driving this is a spirit of killing, stealing, and destroying, because they don't want to have a life and let a family over here raise that child. They would rather kill it. And that's what the devil does. He kills, steals, and destroys, right? See, so you've got to see what spirit's behind things. You know, through COVID, how stupid to say that the church is irrelevant, so we're going to close them down. But a liquor store, got to have that. An abortion clinic, we got to have that. Come on. Do you see the spirit that's behind this stuff? Don't want no God, but we want liquor. Right? We don't want no life over here. People get born again and stuff like that. But we'll kill babies. See, there's a spirit behind this stuff, church. And we have to be careful, because we can get ourselves involved in that. And we can be an accessory if we're not careful. Heard one preacher say, I just tell you now, it don't matter who you vote for, the will of God's going to be done. Really? That's amazing. The will of God's going to go ahead and be done. I guess everybody's going to get saved then. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Right? So the will of God is for everybody to be saved. So we ain't no use us having church. We're all going to be saved. No, you've got to understand something. We have a free will. We have a choice. And the decisions we make affect our life and the lives of others. Why is it then that the Bible says that when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn? And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice? Why does the Bible say that if it don't matter? Because it does. Don't see, that's somebody doing a cop-out right there that don't want to make a stand for the Word of God. That's somebody that, well, you know, I do this so I can stay with these local elections. Listen, do you understand that it don't matter who you're supporting, whoever you support locally supports nationally? And don't matter what party it is, it's the same. If you're supporting it locally, you're supporting it nationally, because your name's on the roster as being part of that. So it's just like this church. If you're a member here, then if you go out and do something, guess who gets blamed for it? The church. If the church does something, guess what? They look at you. Oh, they go out there to that church. They associate you with it and it with you. You're guilty by association. So we have to be careful. We have to watch. They want us to be tolerant. You know, 22 years ago when the tires fell, everybody was running to God. I mean, people were coming to churches. You were seeing all kinds of denominations come together. Even the presidents were going to church, believe that or not. I mean, they were just talking about how many people were going now to church because we had been attacked by terrorists. And right today, on the streets in this country, there's people walking around carrying signs supporting Hamas who went over and just started murdering the people of Israel, and they say that was all right. See, that shows you how things are changing. In America, we've got them in our government system that said it was okay. And they supported those terrorists that were murderers, and they're still standing behind them in the name of Islam, more or less in the name of radical Islam. You can get mad at me if you want to. I'm just telling you how it is. You see, there's a spirit behind that. The spirit behind that is nothing other than the spirit of Antichrist. That spirit of Antichrist says we need to kill anything that has anything to do with God. That's exactly why they say we want to wipe out Israel and we want to wipe out the United States, because that is the two countries that represents God more than any other countries in the world. Now, there's Christianity in these other countries, but America stands for Christianity because we were built on the Word of God. Our country, our constitution is based on the Word of God, and Israel is God's chosen people. So anything trying to wipe us out or wipe them out is a spirit of Antichrist and is against God. Amen. So we have to understand that. And when we start looking at things, when we start looking at the spirit behind it, we have to scratch our head. Now, let me just take you to this one. Deuteronomy 17. I want to just take you to this one. I want to show you something here. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 2. It says, if there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and have gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and beheld it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. God says, if there's another spirit behind somebody, if they're worshiping a false god, and you know they're worshiping a false god. Now, I understand this is Old Testament, but I just want to show you how many knows the Bible says he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He hadn't changed his mind about false gods. He says if anybody's worshiping a false god and going against his covenant that he has with them, that they should be taken out and stoned. That's how serious this thing is. See, it's real quiet. Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but Islam worships a false god, Muhammad. You can say, oh, they worship the same God as we do. No, they don't. They worship Muhammad. The only true, if you want to call it a religion, I don't like that word, but the only true way to worship God is through and by His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for you and I. He's the only way that you'll ever see God. You're no other way. He is the way. And so here God says, I just won't put up with that. Well, why would God have them stoned? Because God wanted to kill the spirit that was behind that. see some of you looking at me funny. I'm going to tell you something. If we had a few gallows today, if we would have a few more public executions of these people that are doing all this wickedness, if we would take some of these child molesters and let people see on TV them being electrocuted till they was dead, we'd probably have less child molesters. If we'd take some of these offenders like this that we know are guilty, I'm not talking about the guests now. God said, make sure it's for sure, right? Make sure it's for sure. But if we do some of that, you'd find out there'd be a whole lot less serial killers. There'd be a whole lot of this other stuff because they would know what was waiting on them. Now, there's always going to be some because there's some people out there that the devil has just taken their mind. And it don't matter. But there would be a whole lot less that think they could get away with something. Think about it, folks. Until they found out that they could go in a store and rob a store and nobody would bother them, they wouldn't go in robbing stores. Right? All of a sudden, once they found out, they're not going to do anything to us. And if we still listen to less than $1,000 worth of stuff, nobody won't say nothing. Then all of a sudden, they're getting together and say, hey, let's go knock this place off. Ain't nobody going to bother us. Police won't even come. There's a spirit behind that. What would you do if it was your store that you'd worked really hard to build up and they came in and just trashed your store? Took what they wanted, just left you there. See, you got this spirit is there. And it's pushing and it's driving, folks. And you and I, as children of God, we must stand up and oppose any spirit that's not of God. We can't be tolerant of stuff. You can't be tolerant of thieves. It's crazy. And it's those things of being tolerant that causes you to finally just say, well, you know what? If everybody else is going to give their gun up, I'll just give mine up too. Not happening. Not happening. You do go ahead if you want to, but as for me and my house, we'll be armed and loaded. Everybody knows how to use it and everybody can shoot good. Amen. You can say, well, you're a preacher. You say that. You let some demon-possessed fellow, they got to be possessed by the devil, or at least oppressed. They've got to be pushed by or driven by the devil to want to break into your house in the first place. Plain talk's easily understood. You know, that, and our country needs to be the same way. Our country doesn't need to be mealy-mallying around with these folks that are just doing what they want to and getting away with it. Whew. Well, let me move on. We just got to be careful, church, that we don't allow ourselves to be seduced by the wrong spirit. It's real easy. In Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about the fact that you and I have to be careful of not having an evil heart of unbelief and be careful about sin causing us to become softened or condoning other things. We have to be careful of that because, see, if we allow that, you know, it's just like I've said, we can love people, but we can't condone the sin. Right? We can love people, but you don't condone what they're doing. Because a lot of times in a lot of situations, it's not bad people. It's just the spirit that's driving them. And if you can ever get their mind, I mean, how many drug dealers have been converted and now they're strong for the Lord? And many others like that. You know, one time they were driven by one spirit, but now they're being driven by the Lord Jesus. And some of them make some of the best Christians because they was wild as in the world, and they're just as wild for Jesus. They're not ashamed to say anything to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not worried about somebody maybe saying something back to them. That's where Christians most of the time are. Well, I'm afraid they'll say something back to me. Well, that's a good chance of that. That's why Jesus said, you know, if you're trying to give them the gospel and they slap one cheek, turn the other cheek. That's what he meant, by the way. He didn't mean you couldn't defend yourself. He didn't mean not stand up to bullies. He's talking about when you're trying to minister the gospel to somebody and you're trying to tell them about Jesus, if they won't receive it, then they won't receive it. But that's not the time that you get violent with them. That's the time that you're gentle. But when they start trying to come through your front door, that's the time you let the gun do the talking. I know. He's instituting violence. I know that's... No, I'm not. I'm just telling you how to defend yourself. Self-defense. Amen. Well, how do we know really how to deal with all this? Well, let me go with you. Go with me. We'll close up here. 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out to the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." You and I have to look and see the way we tell, the way we know, the way we do. Is this thing something that points to God or His Word or Jesus? If that's the way we're being pressed, if that's what it's pushing toward, then it's of God. But if it's not pushing toward God or His Word, then you have to know that that's of the devil. Amen. You can say what you want to. Islam does not recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So what did the Bible just say? Every spirit that day, every person that doesn't confess Jesus is not of God. Right? You know, I'm not talking about lost folk that know that there's God, know that there's Jesus. I'm talking about people that freely and truly believe that somebody like Muhammad is equal to Jesus. Muhammad's already, he was born, he died, and he's dead. And if he was against God, then he's in hell. Jesus Christ was born, he was crucified on the cross, went to hell and paid the penalty for you and I, and rose again on the third day. He's still alive, praise God. And he's the spirit that we want operating in our lives. And so when you see these other things going on, you can recognize real quick, that's not a God. Anything that's stealing, killing, destroying, that's not of God. Anything going against the Word of God, that's not of God. I don't care how popular it is, church. It's not of God. And so we have to stand up and look at ourselves and say, am I doing the things that glorify God? Is my light shining a light that other people can see and glorifying God? Stand to your feet with me. I know I went just a little bit long tonight. Didn't plan on.